You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, immigration helped shape the United States, but the history of immigration in the country has seen a lot of back and forth in laws and in public opinion. In day two of our series looking at immigration in the United States, a historian gives us some of the background for today's immigration debate. First, President Trump picked his nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court last night. The nominee is Brett Kavanaugh, a 53-year-old federal appeals court judge who has a long history of work in D.C. politics. His resume includes time working for President George W. Bush and Special Prosecutor Ken Starr during the Monica Lewinsky scandal. For the last 12 years, he's served as a judge.
My judicial philosophy is straightforward. A judge must be independent and must interpret the law, not make the law. A judge must interpret statutes as written, and a judge must interpret the Constitution as written, informed by history and tradition and precedent.
Kavanaugh's nomination is the first step in what's likely to be a tough confirmation process in the Senate, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to President Trump's pick for the Supreme Court? Do you think Kavanaugh would be a good justice? And what do you want Wisconsin's two U.S. senators to do? What do you want them to vote on this confirmation process? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Kimberly Robinson is the legal editor for Bloomberg BNA and their lead Supreme Court correspondent. She's with us now from Washington, D.C. Kimberly, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about the nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, and his background.
Well, for all of President Trump's talk about draining the swamp, in his Supreme Court nominee, he's picked a true Washington insider through and through. Not only has Brett Kavanaugh been on the federal appellate court that sits here in D.C. for the last 12 years, but he was actually born and raised in D.C. and the Maryland suburbs. You know, he spent a little time out of D.C., of the D.C. area, when he went to Yale undergrad and law school and did a few clerkships, but he's returned since then and has held a number of very prominent positions within conservative governments.
And he's been there at some key moments in American political history, the Bush-Gore 2000 election standoff. He was on the Bush side of things on the legal team. He was on, as we mentioned, Ken Starr's team during President Bill Clinton's administration. He's been there in some controversial moments.
Well, that's right. And that's actually one of the reasons that his nomination to the D.C. Circuit stalled for so long. He waited for confirmation for 3 years, in part because of his place in these very political matters. In fact, Chuck Schumer, who's now the minority leader, said that he was at every principal partisan battle in modern history. And that was one reason why he thought that he shouldn't even be on the D.C. Circuit.
Can you talk a little more about the case President Trump was making on behalf of Brett Kavanaugh right up front here?
Well, what he really highlighted from Brett Kavanaugh is that he is a judge who calls himself an originalist. And that's somebody who interprets the Constitution as it was originally understood to be. Brett Kavanaugh has explained that he does that in order to avoid inserting his own political desires into his judicial rulings. But the president also emphasized that Kavanaugh is a textualist. He's somebody who sticks very close to the text of the statute. And I think that's something that is going to come into play quite a bit when he's ruling on administrative agencies and trying to rein in their power.
Talking to Kimberly Robinson, legal editor for Bloomberg BNA, about President Trump's second nominee for the U.S. Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh. Let's look a little more at Judge Kavanaugh's background. Can you talk about his role in the George W. Bush administration?
Well, he was on the front lines of the Florida recount in 2000, and that's something that really ingratiated him to the Bush administration, something that really invited him back into the Bush White House.
And how about his work with the special prosecutor? What did anything stand out as far as Kavanaugh's role in the investigation of President Bill Clinton?
Well, yes, he actually worked with Ken Starr, whom he actually had met in a previous position in a fellowship at the Solicitor General's office, which is, of course, the federal government's top lawyer at the U.S. Supreme Court. And while working with Ken Starr at the Office of Special Counsel, he was deeply involved in the investigation over Vince Vaughn's suicide, and also was one of the major drafters of the case for impeachment of Bill Clinton.
Now, a lot of focus will be on his work as a judge, and he's built up a long record on the Court of Appeals. What kind of things are people looking at to see, to read the tea leaves of how he might vote on controversial issues?
Well, when I spoke to opponents last night following the president's nomination of Brett Kavanaugh, I really heard three major points that it seems like the opposition is going to be looking at. And that's how Brett Kavanaugh has voted in abortion cases, how he's voted on the Affordable Care Act, and also how he will vote in LGBT rights cases. These really seem to be the themes that I heard over and over again that opponents are going to be looking to his previous work to see how he might vote once he's on the Supreme Court.
And he's going to be replacing Justice Anthony Kennedy, who's generally viewed as a conservative or maybe a libertarian, but he voted with the liberal part of the court on some of those social type issues you just mentioned, right?
Well, that's right. And I think that's why this nomination feels different from President Trump's first nomination, is because there seems to be so much more at stake. You know, Neil Gorsuch, the president's first nominee, was replacing a true conservative who voted with the conservative bloc of the court almost every issue. Justice Kennedy is seen as a swing justice. He has voted with the liberals in some very key social issues, most notably abortion, affirmative action, and gay rights. But I do think it's important to remember that Justice Kennedy was a deeply conservative justice. And in fact, we saw that play out this term, where the court actually split 5-4 in 18 cases. And Justice Kennedy wasn't with the liberals in any of those cases.
And speaking of Justice Kennedy, this is another nominee who had clerked, and this is a big deal in Supreme Court pedigree, had clerked for Justice Kennedy, right?
Well, that's right. And this is actually the first time where we see a majority of the justices who were actually previously clerks on the Supreme Court. This wasn't something that what had been a particular resume marker that was essential for Supreme Court nominees, but it seems to be now. And indeed, if Kavanaugh is confirmed, Justice Kennedy will have two of his clerks on the Supreme Court, Kavanaugh and Gorsuch.
Want to give a listen as we start to turn to the confirmation process now to Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. He talked to reporters this morning in a teleconference. Here's what he had to say about Kavanaugh's nomination.
I'll keep an open mind. I want to, now that Judge Kavanaugh has been named the nominee, I want to take a look at his record as well. I want to meet with him and discuss exactly his approach to the law. But early indications are, from my standpoint, very favorable.
What kind of reaction, apart from Senator Johnson, are you hearing from Senate Republicans?
Well, I think that Senate Republicans are very happy with this nominee. We heard a little bit of squabbling about Judge Kavanaugh not being conservative enough, looking at a couple of his cases, most notably his vote over the Affordable Care Act. But it's hard to tell if that was really, somebody just trying to push forward their nominee, or if it was just trying to confuse us all away from Brett Kavanaugh, who really from the beginning has been seen as the front runner.
Talk about the process now. Once upon a time, not that long ago, it would take 60 votes to confirm a Supreme Court justice. No longer true, right?
Well, that's right. You know, the Democrats had jettisoned the filibuster requirement requiring 60 votes for lower court nominees, not doing it for the Supreme Court. And Majority Leader McConnell said that they would come to regret that, and I do believe that now they do. Now Republicans just need a simple majority. They do have an effective 59-49 lead right now.
51-49.
Well, presuming that Senator McCain will be unable to come to Washington to vote due to health care reasons. So the vote is going to be very close in this case.
Talking to Kimberly Robinson, Bloomberg, BNA's legal editor and lead Supreme Court reporter. We're taking your calls and questions at 800-642-1234. Now we have a nominee in place for the U.S. Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh, getting ready for the confirmation process. From what you've seen so far about this nominee, what do you think? Are you optimistic about his chances of being confirmed? Do you want him to be confirmed? And what do you want Wisconsin senators, or if you're from our neighboring states, what do you want your senators to do? How do you want them to vote on this confirmation? What kind of issues are you watching? Are you worried or hopeful about changes with a new justice on the court? You can call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Bloomberg legal editor Kimberly Robinson, looking at President Trump's Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you think of this nomination? What do you want from the Senate when it comes to looking at Brett Kavanaugh's record and deciding whether or not to confirm him? And are there issues you're watching and thinking might change, whether you like that change or not? Things like abortion, same-sex marriage, affirmative action. Are you hopeful or fearful that the new lineup on the Supreme Court, if Kavanaugh is confirmed, will change things? Call 800-642-1234. Also, when and if you voted in the presidential election, was this issue, Supreme Court nominees, part of why you voted the way you did? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. To your calls now, Carol is with us in Madison. Carol, hi.
Oh, hi there. I am just calling because I'm just wondering why this president is even able to put forth a nomination right now for the Supreme Court, given that he is currently under, or he's actually the subject of a criminal investigation.
Carol, thanks for the call. That's some Democrats nationally are making a similar case while the Russia probe is going on. Is that something you're hearing from Democrats at all, Kimberly?
We are hearing that a little bit. Unfortunately, I'm not sure that there's really anything that Democrats who think that that's the way to go can do about it. They don't really seem to have the numbers to stop Leader McConnell from going forward with a vote on that basis, at least.
Carol, thanks a lot for that call. Is there anything, procedurally there really is, if, as you say, if Republicans all vote the same way, is there anything Democrats could do to slow the process down?
Well, there is something they can do to slow the process down, and that was actually one of the reasons why McConnell had kind of nudged the president against voting for Brett Kavanaugh, and that is to take a really hard and close look at the documents that Kavanaugh produced while he was in the Bush White House. That's something that can stall the nomination, but it's unlikely to stop the nomination, and there does seem to be enough time, even with those stalling tactics, to get the confirmation done before the midterm elections.
Back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Sparta. John, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I've been listening to the news quite a bit, but Mitch McConnell was adamant about Obama not getting a judge sitting before the election. And I wonder why it was okay then, and there's not an uproar that he's appointed one, and they adamantly want him seated right away. And I just want to know, where is the outcry?
John, thanks a lot for that call. I think a lot of Democrats bringing up the name of Merrick Garland and his non-confirmation back before the 2016 election. What are you hearing?
Yeah, that was the first line of criticism against, the president really nominating anybody, that this would be the height of hypocrisy. McConnell and other Republicans have said that, the dividing line was a presidential election year and this is a senatorial election year. I think in reality, it was really a fake rule to begin with. And so what line it falls on, if it's a new fake rule, it's just really up to who has the votes.
Thanks a lot for that call. And yeah, it seems whatever party's in control, they are willing to make procedural changes on their behalf, whether it, as you mentioned, Senator Reid getting rid of the filibuster for lower court judges, Leader McConnell now setting his own precedents. Whoever runs the Senate seems to be taking the rules in their own hands now.
That's exactly right. And we just see a complete flip-flop on both sides of what the arguments were for and against, President Barack Obama's nominee and now President Trump's nominees.
Let's go back to our callers now. John is with us in Madison. John, hi.
Hi. You just answered one of my comments. And the other comment that I was going to have was I think it's a pretty poor choice for the president to be telegraphing his desires in a judge. I mean, you want a judge to be impartial. So saying that I'm going to nominate a judge that's going to overturn Roe v. Wade and be pro-business and all this sort of stuff just seems sketchy to me.
John, thanks for the call. A lot of people kind of dance around the margins, but in effect, isn't that what we're seeing? Presidents looking for judges who will go along with their agendas, Kimberly?
Well, that's right. I can't recall a presidential candidate who was as explicit as President Trump. You know, he said that he would appoint a judge who would automatically overturn Roe versus Wade. But that's something that opponents kept coming back to last night, was that, you know, we don't really see a long record of abortion on Brett Kavanaugh. There is a little bit, but again, not as conservatives of some conservatives would really like. But they say that we have to take this president at his word when it comes to what he's looking for in a judicial nominee. And, you know, he wanted somebody who would overturn Roe versus Wade.
Talking about President Trump's new nominee for the U.S. Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have? What hopes or fears do you have about the nominee? How do you want your U.S. senators to vote when it comes to confirmation time? And what issues do you want to see raised along the way in the confirmation process? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Kimberly Robinson, our guest, legal editor for Bloomberg BNA and the lead Supreme Court correspondent there. Kimberly, what can we expect now from a confirmation process? What's the public side of this going to look like?
Well, Judge Kavanaugh has already started meeting with senators on the Hill. He met with both McConnell and Judiciary Chairman Grassley today. He'll continue to meet with presumably all senators, or at least attempt to meet with all senators. And then we'll have confirmation hearings, probably about 3 days of confirmation hearings. We'll hear from Judge Kavanaugh himself over 2 days, and then there'll be public testimony. And then a few weeks later, we'll get a vote. Republicans have said that their goal is to get someone seated before the next Supreme Court term starts in early October. But for sure, the goal is to get somebody in there before the midterm elections.
I think summing up a lot of the way these confirmation hearings goes, it's something like this. Senators say, hey, tip us off as to which way you'll vote on a controversial issue X. And the nominee saying, I can't tell you how I would vote on controversial issue X. Do you expect to see a lot of that this time around?
I do, especially around those three issues that I pointed to before, abortion and gay rights and the Affordable Care Act. You know, Republicans say that it's a Ginsburg rule, pointing to what Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said during her confirmation hearings. I do think there will be a few differences from at least the last confirmation process in that, you know, Democrats really focused on the fairness of Republicans holding up President Obama's nominee. And this time around, they really seem to be focusing on issues, perhaps to try and really hammer it home to Democrat and progressive voters that elections matter. And if they want to have a voice in the Supreme Court, they have to vote in these midterm elections.
Let's go back to our callers now. Terry is on the line in Rhinelander. Terry, hi.
Hi. I'm actually driving in a car on the way to Rhinelander. But I just wanted to say that I believe President Trump has the right to nominate a candidate, and I do believe that our senators, both of them, Senator Baldwin, should vote for his nomination. And I just think that in the past, it's something that has been kind of congeniality. This man has nothing dramatically wrong with him, for there's no good reason not to vote for him.
Terry, thanks a lot for the call. Kimberly, for as far as resume goes, apart from the partisan politics side of this, Brett Kavanaugh has a pretty solid Supreme Court resume, right?
Well, he does. That has really been the case with almost all of the nominees, with a few exceptions from both parties. We've see nominees who have just these great resumes. And so, you know, the opposition to them really isn't on their resumes, but instead on their policies, or how what people think are their policies, and also, you know, opposition to the president that nominated them. And part of the problem is that, you know, the Constitution is so ambiguous as to what the rules really are, that we've left it largely up to the president and the Senate to sort it out.
Thanks for that call, Terry. We'll go to Dennis now in New Auburn. Dennis, hi.
Hi. Hey, the question I had is, what's kind of scary to me is, you know, like, I'm not a lawyer, and no, I know anything about the law, but when a vote needs to come up on how the Supreme Courts are going to vote, I'm right 90% of the time. All I have to do is pick what type of political party I'm on to. And that's kind of scary, where I can pick who's going, how they're going to vote, and it's 90% of the time they vote political rather than, I don't know if the law is that political, but that's what's kind of scary to me.
Dennis, thanks a lot for that call. Is Dennis being fair to the justices here? You can pick, even though they're not Republican or Democratic justices by name, for the bulk of the time we know which way they're going to vote based on their partisan non-identity?
You know, they are pretty predictable in that regard. I would say that the justices themselves are very concerned about their public image, and that they certainly don't see themselves as political. And I'm not sure that the court is political, but it's just that the justices have judicial ideologies that tend to lead them in these predictable ways.
Thanks for that call, Dennis. Kimberly, what is the timeline now?
Well, I think that, you know, Republicans are moving full force. Again, as I mentioned, Brett Kavanaugh's already started to meet with senators. The expectation is that we'll have confirmation hearings sometime in the fall. Originally, McConnell had said that it would be a stretch to get them done in September, but I think they're going to go ahead and try and do that. You know, we saw Judge Gorsuch was confirmed to justice in just 66 days. So I think that's the timeline that McConnell is really looking for.
So plenty of time for a judge to be done and in place by, say, November's election day.
I think that is the absolute drop-dead date for Republicans.
Kimberly, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Kimberly Robinson, legal editor and lead Supreme Court reporter at Bloomberg BNA. She was with us to talk about President Trump's Supreme Court pick, his second, Brett Kavanaugh, and the confirmation fight ahead.